Imagine you're 80 years old, sitting on a park bench next to a man. He tells you about his immense love, his travels, his incredible success. This man is who you could have been. This is you. Take control. Become a master of your life. This is Mentors Collective.
What's up, Mentors Collective? Welcome to another awesome episode. If you are looking for the X factor for success, not only in your business, but in your life, your personal life, your relationships, your finances, sometimes it's hard to tell why some people are so successful and some are not. And when you meet people, you can also tell, wow, that person's kind of got it figured out. They've got an energy about them. And I encourage you to go into this episode with an open mind. If you are someone who is a little bit skeptical, leave that at the door. Come in with an open heart, open mind, open to some new ideas, and you might learn something. You might take something away from this that you can then go and apply to your business and your life, and you may see some things change overnight, some things that you don't quite understand. So to have this conversation, I brought in a good friend and an expert. Alara Dawn is known as the modern-day high priestess, a workplace spiritual wellness expert, energy healer, coach, and podcast host. She specializes in empowering individuals to connect deeply into all, to self, to expand their conscious awareness and accelerate their vision for life and business into reality. Alara brings an unconventional perspective from mastering her spiritual gifts, entrepreneurship, training in clinical hypnotherapy and counseling, plus insight from 20 years working in the world of finance. Alara, I'm so excited to dig into spirituality, intuition, and how people can use those things to become a little bit more open to receiving messages that they might need to not only get to that next level in business, but maybe change paths completely. Maybe make changes in their personal lives that are going to really impact them that they may have kind of known they needed to do, but just needed that extra push. This is something that I've become highly interested in myself over the past few years, self-growth, spiritual development. And it's a thing that I think a lot of successful or future successful entrepreneurs are lacking. So thank you for joining me on this episode. Thank you for taking the time with my audience and welcome.
Well, thank you for inviting me. I'm really excited for this conversation and looking forward to sharing more. And really, I think it's completely, we're at this really interesting time where we're at a precipice of change. So this is the time where let's look outside the boundaries. You know, we don't need to sit in the boxes, and that's how we're going to create like new industries and new business models and make things better, including our own lives.
I agree with you. And coming from Western medicine, a person of science, I've never been particularly religious. The longer that I've spent on personal development in terms of kind of the soul, spirituality, trying to understand these things, it's become more evident to me that it is there. If you work on it, it will change. Western medicine does not have answers for everything. Science does not have answers for everything that are happening. We're too complicated and we're too young in our understanding. So I encourage any skeptics listening to come into this with an open mind. If I can come to believe and work on these things and spend time and money on these things in myself, it might be worth it for you too. So Alara, let's start off. You've got a very interesting history. You've had an NDE. You've been through quite a bit. So I'd love to hear a little bit about yourself. I know there's a lot there to unpack, but let's try and dive in and tell us about who you are, where you came from.
Sure. So for those that don't know what a near-death, NDE is a near-death experience. So what tends to happen is, if we look at some of the shamanic lineages or some of the more ancient lineages, the soul would orchestrate having a near-death experience because it was a way of kind of blowing their consciousness into the other dimensional realms. So it kind of means that when there is extreme trauma or impact, the soul generally can't stay in the body. If you think about a car accident, at impact, there is an element of the energies out of the body, which is why afterwards they're quite, you know, disassociated. So what that meant is that from a very young age, so I had one at two and then a drowning near drowning at age four, was that I was very connected to other spiritual realms and consciousness. And that was my norm. So I didn't know any different because you know, you're forming your personality and your experiences from a young age. I realized through early childhood, my gifts were so acute that when I shared them freely, they scared people. So I learned to hide them. And I think that's quite a pattern for a lot of people, that they'll remember things actually often through conversation, like, oh my gosh, I had that happen. But they never had a name for it and nobody context it. So we shut down a lot of our senses. And this happens for a lot of children under the age of 7, usually. So I kind of went through life, and the experiences at home were quite traumatic. It was a quite violent home. So that also meant, sensitivity wise, I was very consciously aware of the energy and environments from a safety perspective, but also being able to, you know, read other people's energetic intention, knowing what they were saying and what was the energetics behind it. So it was kind of honing it through adversity. And that is what a lot of people that define as maybe highly sensitive or empaths now, often there is a trauma link. So fast forward kind of 18 years old, I left home. It became like a, you know, start life, fresh start, cut contact with my family, which was a big decision. And I found myself in finance. So I'd never really thought that I would end up working for a global investment bank. By age of 21, I was in New York, and then I was in London at 22. So very corporate, but I was in client-facing roles. So it's very interactive relationships, people, and also work dynamics, and also being somebody that was at least 10 years younger than the youngest person in the department, who was then actually ending up getting promoted after 9 months. You know, and moving my way up the ladder. So I was coming against all of these kind of like, you know, woman in a man's world, doing all these things that were kind of pushing the boundaries, really. And I really put a lot of that spirituality side of things in the closet. I was obviously very aware of reading into certain things, and it helped me build relationships. And it helped me also be able to tune into the needs of my clients, which helped me in the client relationship roles that I had. Which was obviously really, really important, and, you know, helped me connect with them. And they kind of were able to know, even though she's a lot younger, that just kind of went out the window. It helped me, you know, go up through my career. It was only really, I think it was 2008, I cancelled my wedding, ended a 7.5-year relationship, realised that there were some big misalignments. And at that point, it put me on my healing journey. And that healing journey was to really go inwards, firstly with counselling, looking at my childhood experience. It led me then to decide that how can I turn this round into a positive, where I retrained as a clinical hypnotherapist and a gestalt therapist, thinking, great, this is very existential with what I'm doing. But then I realised the patterns were still happening. I now know what they are. I now can see the, you know, I know the clinical understanding of it, but it's still happening. And then 2015, I had a physical injury after a half marathon training, which debilitated me. It was kind of like you're being forced to stop. You have these like interventions, and you can't just keep on pushing through and, you know, thinking that you're going to force your way into getting things to happen, which is kind of, I was in a lot of masculine energy. And then it really switched on this thing of like being told that I would be hobbling around on crutches for 9 months and this injury would take ages. And I remember coming out of there thinking, I've got a choice. I can believe this, or something inside of me is telling me there's another way. And when I started being open to that, I went on holiday. About a week later, in the spa, they had a Reiki person. And after one session, I'm in no pain. So I didn't need the painkillers. So I had it twice. I had this very strange experience. I call it like an intervention. The day that I arrived, my friend and I were kind of in the London life. We drank lots and ate lots. And the next day it was as though somebody had flicked a switch and I literally stopped drinking alcohol. It was like it was repellent. Stopped drinking meat, fish, dairy. It was like I went vegan overnight. And I just had to really listen to that guidance. And along with this energy clearing, I mean, my friend at the beginning of the week seeing me, and then at the end of the week, it was like two different people. I'd gone on this kind of, like the soul had intervened to change my patterns, and I just trusted and went with it. And it meant that I was off the crutches in 2 months. My MRIs were coming back with quite extraordinary results that my, you know, consultant was thinking this was about really, really bizarre. And then I retrained. Well, I started doing like a Reiki 1 and 2 within about a month. And they'd actually turned around and said, did you detox from, you know, alcohol and meat for 2 weeks? And I'm like, oh, well, yes, actually I did, but it wasn't planned. And after that, it kind of then went very, very fast. And I realized that that was one little toolkit and it wasn't really all that I needed. And then I started getting a lot of flashbacks, and they were flashbacks from this and other lifetimes. They were things that were moving through my body. Bear in mind, I'm working on a sales and trading floor for a global investment bank. My sensitivity and my energetics that I had tried to kind of block and ignore were coming back, banging on the door, basically. And it was like these warnings is the only way I can describe it, of like, you need to pay attention. And if I didn't, it was like that thing was manifesting. So it was like really an initiation to trust my intuition and recognize its strength. And that was a full on, I call it an initiation, because that's kind of what it was. That's really the role of the high priestess. And after that, it was really about accessing my healing abilities, my psychic abilities, my ability to tap into multidimensional kind of timelines through doing the deeper inner work. So going into the trauma that was there, recognizing that it wasn't working with just the hypnotherapy and the counseling. I had to go deeper. It was held into the body, the nervous system, the etheric field. It was like everything that I went into was a breadcrumb of like pain or suffering that I had to kind of go into to alchemize, which then brought about a gift. And I knew none of this kind of made any linear sense, but the minute that it kind of locked in, it switched something on. So I just had to trust and keep moving through it. So it was quite a, obviously unconventional. Yeah. I believe that the soul chooses how and when it will be activated to go in to do that deeper work, which is why we've got this massive spread of people that, you know, may never need to go into that level, but then there may be others that are actually here to transform generational trauma, generational patterns. Money stories are also ancestral generational things that are big, especially in the entrepreneurial world. If you want to take a leap, all your money stuff's going to come up, and it will be about self-worth and energetic stuff at root is how you can really shift it in hours, not months, and, you know, fight kind of feast and famine with your business. So it really took me on those layers, and it still obviously is going, but not at that level. So now what happened is
when entrepreneurs, especially in our community, start talking about energy, all kinds of weird thoughts come up and associations come up. Some people think it's woo-woo, but I'd like to point out that if you've sought out these experiences enough, whether it be through masterminds, through traveling, through people, places, activities, you will be in a situation at some point where you can feel the energy, you can sense that it's there, and you have an aha moment, like, wow, I don't know what this is, I can't quite quantify it, but there's something going on here. So I'd love to ask you to define energy in your words. I know in Eastern medicine, they have meridians. It moves through your body. It comes out at certain points. That's why acupuncture works. A lot of people now describe it as vibrational energy. People and things vibrate at different frequencies. So, Alara, tell me what your interpretation of the word energy is.
I would say it's really going back to oneness from my perspective, light and sound. It's frequency and vibration. And we are all of it. And we have the abilities to sense it. But what the piece that's kind of missing for a lot of people is we haven't had the encyclopedia to reference it. So a lot of the time people are actually more psychically aware to kind of connect into things, but they think that the experience would be Hollywood style experience. And actually it's very subtle. And the information is there, or the whispering is there, or the feeling's there, but nobody's kind of told you, oh, that means this. And it's only when we get that kind of reference point, we begin to explore it. So I think, yeah, energetically, you know, it's something we can feel, we can sense. We can also, I channel a lot of light information. I'm clear cognizant, clairvoyant, clairsentient. So I kind of assimilate all of it through my body, through, you know, clairaudiently. So I kind of get all of it. Which, you know, has meant different mastery, and also meaning that I don't walk around kind of taking everything in. That's what a lot of people asked me. I was at an event yesterday and someone said, you know, are you not seeing everybody's, I had a conversation at the Spears 500 event yesterday about past lives with somebody. So if we're talking about synchronicity and people being ready to talk about this stuff, This woman, when I explained kind of what my business was, and I give it at one level because I kind of don't always know where everyone is, and suddenly she was sharing more things about her understanding, and then that expanded. That synchronicity, that's energetic alignment, somebody being able to come in because we have something of either appointment to have a conversation. There is a like for like frequency and vibration. That means that on some level we connected. And I feel like that is what people begin to notice, is synchronicity. Maybe they've said, you know, they've made a decision or a declaration. It can sometimes be very like, they don't realize they're actually making an intention or an energetic command or ask. Next thing you know, they're like, it's turned up at the front door or it's in an email. And they're beginning to connect the dots between the power of their inner desire and energetic intention. And actually, those things can come into your sphere. And we kind of talked briefly about this before, but before I go to any events, I set very clear energetic boundaries and intentions in my energy field of who and what I'm available for interacting with. And it was interesting, from literally being in the queue to pick up my, you know, my tag thing, the lady behind me got chatting to me, and she works for a fund that is for philanthropy, that works with high net worth individuals and entrepreneurs that are wanting to, you know, give back. And the demographic of the age group was actually really the age group I work with. So it was like, what are the chances? And then I go to get a coffee, and this other lady turns around, and she's in the similar field. And then that other lady that I spoke to, it's like literally out of 200 people, maybe, the key people that I made intention of, you know, not necessarily that I wanted to speak to people in philanthropy, but those that had an energetic alignment with the cohesion of people that want to give back in the world or have purpose or do something good, that is an equal energetic intention that both of us hold on some level. And I feel that's why we attracted each other.
And I'd love to talk about some of the benefits of becoming, I guess, a little bit more open spiritually and energetically so that you can receive some of these messages, because anyone can do this and benefit from it. And then also some of the tactics mm-hmm. that people can use to achieve that. First, I kind of wanted to mention, I guess, a story. I was on a podcast yesterday, and this must have been the fifth time that I'd heard this from a very successful entrepreneur, someone who's they're doing business in multiple countries, doing multi-millions of dollars. And I asked them what their driving force was, and they mentioned that they had a divine inspiration, a tap on the shoulder, someone whispering in their ear that this was their life mission. This is what they needed to do. And they had to credit it to the divine. Obviously, I'm not a particularly religious person, but I say, if you could bottle that feeling and prescribe it to somebody for success, then you would have either the most expensive drug ever. But I think it might be similar or even the same to what we're talking about here. That tap on the shoulder, the divine inspiration, it might just be how open is that person spiritually and energetically to receive messages like that. And it might be something that other entrepreneurs can dial into. So just a random thought there, but I thought that was an odd coincidence talking to her and then you. But talk to me about go ahead.
I was going to say, somebody asked me this yesterday, actually, how did I kind of do this? You know, how did this come to fruition? And it got to a point where after the level of initiation I went through, and actually I was basically thought to myself, well, if I drop dead tomorrow, there may be millions of other people that have gone through this level of trauma and having to clear all this stuff really quickly. If I could bring something that was in a compressed format that they spend 3 months doing it, not lifetimes and years, then that would have a lot of purpose. And the next thing you know, I was in the bath and I got the name Pure Light 1111. And then it kept on coming through like this name. So the next day I was like, okay, you get the information, you take the guidance, you take the action. So I registered it, and it was like step by step. When I say yes, the universe meets me, but it comes from my action, my commitment, my locked in desire. And it's that energy. A lot of people, the opposite way around, they go, oh, yeah, I'll just wait and see what happens. It's like, no, you go first and then everything responds to you. But that takes trust and getting out your head and getting out your way, which is the opposite to kind of how we've been living.
Right.
Around how can people open themselves up? I want to reframe some things as well around how the power of our ability to ask and command. So if we look at more of the magical tradition. So it was always about invoking something, or you were commanding something. Even a prayer is a command. It has power through words. So if we can recognize that instead of like praying, like, dear something outside of me, give me this, like from a place of weakness, and, you know, that isn't your truth. Your truth is that you are deeply powerful. And it's not saying that you're like, everything you say is just going to drop out of the air in front of you. But it's like, if you make a clear declaration of something that's locked in and powerful that you desire, and also the potency comes if it's linked to your soul purpose, that's where the money starts coming in, because we're always going to be supported for the stuff we're most aligned to be doing. And if it has a bigger impact, that's all about law of reciprocity. We start to play in universal laws. So yeah, impact and bigger that side of things is really powerful. From the opening up intuition, is if you were to consider that if I make a declaration of what I decide, so you might want to extend it on your journaling. You might be journaling things that you kind of desire, three things for the next, that's actually a good way, actually, three things that you desire for the rest of the week. Write it down and then command it. I command, I be brought, you might want to say God, source, soul, universe, whatever resonates, X, Y, Z. Bring me signs, bring me clarity, move any obstacles out the way. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Whatever way feels intrinsically good. I'm not religious, so use whatever works for you. If something feels, I don't like that word, don't use it. There is no prescription here. Then I use something called energy clearing, because otherwise we get in our heads and we're holding other energy. So I would clear my energy and then I would just meditate. And that space of meditating, which can just be taking 5 minutes out to pause, actually is the space. It's a receiving energy. So if we think about meditation as the opportunity to receive, we can use that as an opportunity to channel light, which is just through intention. We can, you know, there's lots of different kind of practices. We can ask for that information, then sit back and bring ourselves into maybe a neutral point, which is maybe focusing on the heart, or imagining there's a doorway in the heart and you go into the heart. And in doing so, there may be, let's say, a channel that goes up, and you can just take yourself on a little imaginary journey. But that file path is actually how you can access the quantum field. So if you can imagine, that is just something that you follow, and you just sit there and you're just playing and seeing what actually comes to you whilst you're just taking yourself on that journey into just exploring and being curious. And see, you might see an image, you might get some information. There's no judgment, it's neutrality, it doesn't need to mean anything. But afterwards, maybe make some notes, because you'll notice there's patterns, there's themes. And it might be that what you've been shown, you then start seeing on TV or something else. And it starts to then form maybe a bit of a story. So without needing to, you can do psychic development. That's one way. A quick way of really expanding intuition is to go and do the energetic clearing work, because naturally you become more intuitive. So there's kind of practices that we can incorporate day to day. And that's really also what I teach my clients, and what they're being interested for their businesses, like how they can, you know, help their staff.
Very cool. So just to kind of recap with some bullet points, benefits of the energy clearing work, opening up spiritually. What is the average entrepreneur, average person going to see once they've achieved that result, once they have achieved the openness, at least a basic average level, better than they already currently are? What are some of the things that they can expect?
I think usually the first thing that comes through is that they feel more grounded, they feel more calm, and sometimes negative intrusive thoughts like doubts and stuff are actually energies that don't belong to them. So often it changes thought patterns that can affect sleep. That's just like very immediate. They feel like they've been in maybe a high state of fight or flight, or they've actually, what tends to happen is we don't actually know what it feels like to be at a different energetic set point. We're so used to running on fight or flight that we think that that's so normal. So to actually decompress that, because energetically, when we clear things, we're actually resetting the nervous system as well. It's like, whoa, okay, I can actually be in my body. I can be grounded. And then we start to really play with, I can feel more joyful. It doesn't have to be go, go, go. Physical manifestations. With the type of work I do, at the depth I do, I'm working in the quantum field, I'm working at soul level, I'm working for contracts and stuff like that. So I'm looking at certain things that you may have in place or have agreed, or your ancestral lineage have patterns of poverty or things like that. So when we clear those things very quickly, and I work right the way back to root, generally things shift very quickly. So it tends to be new money, clients, new opportunities, and it's within days. It's never longer than that. So this is where the magic is. It's like I collapse the time because I can tap into the potential in the quantum field, and then we work to bring that into alignment. So when your head tries to get around it, it's almost like this stuff is existential because we're learning to integrate a new sense.
Right.
And the more you do it, the more you realize that, okay, I can piece that together. It's the encyclopedia, really.
Right. And what I've noticed from my brief, year or two working in this space, and I'm far from perfect. My practices are sporadic at best. I probably meditate every couple of days for about 20 minutes. But even that has gone a long way. I've noticed I was able to further tap into joy and find happiness and mindfulness in most situations. I'm able to tap into more focus and energy when I need it. So instead of coming home after a long day of work and taking an Adderall to push through the next 4 to 5 hours, I do a little breath work, and I'm able to kind of tap into that focus and energy and appreciate the work that I'm doing. And that's just from a year of practice. So I can only imagine where someone like you is on that field and what you're able to tap into. But just for the listeners here, there is a lot of benefit that you can get as an entrepreneur, as a person. It's better to live in a higher state and to be able to tap in and control those thought patterns and emotions that arise all of the time. And sleepiness, anger, sadness, those are all emotions that you can tap into. And kind of just be aware, know that they're there, and then pass by them and change to something else. And Alera, we talked a little bit about tactics here. Meditation being a very simple form. I think everybody should do it. I do it. There's science backing that one up. Is there anything else that you do or recommend, any practice that you'd like to speak about?
Yeah, so when I guess I really started pulling together my sort of modality, which I will add is open-ended, meaning as I grow, I'm adding to it, it evolves. I had a 6-minute reset. So it meant that when I was in the office, I could pop off to the ladies, sit there, do this energy clearing, which I now give to my clients. It's in on my website and everything. So it basically clears any energy of others, any emotional energy of others, brings your soul back into the body, grounds you, does some other bits and pieces so that you can reset in 6 minutes. That's great when we're in those situations. But if you're being constantly triggered, my view is there's always gold on the other side of the trigger, because that's where we have a piece of shadow that gives us some kind of gift or information that actually is our blind spot to the acceleration of the money or whatever else. So it's good to have the tools to reset from triggers, know that they are showing us something. We don't need to get entangled in them. But we do still need to be accountable for going in and doing the other stuff. I also have things like, I used to have a little kit that I would take to work, and it would have Epsom salt shower gel. So I would go off to the gym and I would have a quick shower. That was a really good way to reset my energy very quickly. It felt like I was clear. Sage is amazing. Those kind of things are good on a kind of day-to-day basis. They kind of lift you a bit. But it's almost like they're a small part of the toolkit. Saging is not going to clear deep trauma. Reiki is not going to clear deep trauma. It's almost like we need a smorgasbord of tools. But if you really want to take the quantum leap, it's like we have to do the deeper stuff. And that is not something to be scared of. And it also doesn't need to take hours and hours and weeks, but it does need your decision to get to a point of I'm ready to evolve past this. Because if you're resistant and you think somebody's just going to fix you, you already are creating an energetic resistance to change. So, and it's also putting you in the victim. So it's like we have to choose better. We're worthy of better. We know we can experience better. So anger, great. I use anger as my motivation to say I'm done. Anger is showing me that I need to make change rather than, I'm not someone that blows up in someone's face, but I have very strong boundaries around things. So sometimes it's also looking at our patterns from childhood around how comfortable are we experiencing these other emotions? Could we experience them? And were we perhaps shown that certain emotions were okay and certain ones weren't? And that's really powerful for entrepreneurs, CEOs, and those that are in particular employing leaders in their organizations, because I feel the future of our organizations means that, especially at the kind of more senior level, if they are not doing a level of personal introspection, personal development, and perhaps even therapy, they are going to be creating environments that are based on their own bias, their own traumas, their own limitations. So it's like, for us to kind of evolve consciously in our businesses and make things better environments, the inner work, and it kind of starts with us, really.
I agree. There's a famous saying, I'm probably going to misquote it, but the company can only grow to as big as their leader has grown personally. And I believe that wholeheartedly. So if you are wondering why your company might be stuck, it might be because you're stuck on a personal level. Mm-hmm. So do the self-work and you might see your company explode following your own growth spiritually and as a person. It's funny. The next question, I always think back to like Dr. Strange when I don't know if you saw that Marvel movie. When he was a neurosurgeon and he was going to learn the art of the mystic, spirituality. And they're like, all right, I can reattach a spine, but why can't I do this? It's like, it takes years of study and practice. And for anything, to be good at it, to get the benefit of it, and to understand these things, you have to put the time in and dedicate the learning to it. So with that being said, Alara, I know you mentioned pre-episode that you have a series of resources that you might recommend people start with to start mastering the world of spirituality and energy. So talk me through a few of those resources that you think might be a good place for people to start.
Yeah, definitely. So this is kind of exciting. So they're not all necessarily spiritual, but they are definitely about doing the inner work, because we have to have a basis of knowing that if you've got issues in any relationship in your life, business or whatever, you're the common denominator. So, you know, if we want the sort of the laws are as within, so without. You do the inner, you know, the inner work and your outer reality shifts. And that includes people responding to you differently. So understanding your attachment style, there's a book called Attached by Dr. Amir Levine and Rachel Hellier. That is based on the work of Bowlby. Deeply powerful, because it looks at every relationship and you begin to think, why do I keep on getting people that, you know, go hot and cold? Look at your attachment style. When you look at your attachment style, we can then take it a step back and we begin to look at core wounding. And that's really powerful in the land of psychology, because they're not looking at energetics or soul. It's more about learned behavior and patterns and overcoming things. But because we know like attracts like energetically, it's quite hard to out solve your attachment style. So that's where the energetic work allows you to overcome it. So we're never stuck. My viewpoint is we were not put on this planet without the access and the tools and the abilities to overcome the perceived obstacles or whatever was there. We might need to work with somebody that's gone a bit further ahead of us that can alchemize and, you know, transform things. But I think that's what's really happening at the moment on this planet. The five love languages, The Secret to Love That Lasts, Gary Chapman. Again, I think he's a psychologist. There's also one for kids, really potent and powerful, because our love languages will also translate to our relationships around money. So that's really powerful as well. If you understand, sometimes half the time it's about you need to meet your own needs and have a better relationship with yourself. Otherwise, you just project it all over the place and blame everyone. But that's part of our kind of evolution.
Before you go question. Have you noticed that every man has the same love language? Maybe that's just the people that we've polled. It seems like every woman that I've talked to is a little bit different, but every man has the same one, physical touch. And I don't know if physical that's a coincidence. It was just I think it was touched on the book. I thought it was interesting.
Yeah, I would say that I recognize that that's a pattern, because it's kind of also socially accepted that that's the only, you know, if you've not had the emotional intelligence through the connections at home, and it's not okay to, you've not had anyone to model expressing your emotions in another way. So often, like if you're going to express love with someone and intimacy to them, it's the physicality. But then obviously we've got lots of wonky stuff with porn and all the things that the way people are, you know, all this kind of malarkey. And I do actually go quite deep into all of this because, it's a block for people's lives. The physics of consciousness in the quantum field, minerals, plants, animals, and the human soul. This is by somebody called Ivan Antic. This is for the men, because I feel personally that there's going to be a lot of men waking up. They're not interested in angels and woo-woo and that level of consciousness, and that is absolutely fine. But science, sacred geometry, energetics, physics, that's your book. And that really will accelerate you and collapse time around understanding your ability to influence things around you. I think we know the Tim Ferriss 4-hour week. I think that's kind of also come into kind of fruition over lockdown. And this one, it's called Morphic Resonance, and it's Rupert Sheldrake. And it talks about, this is the interconnectedness of all of us through morphogenic fields. And this is what I'm able to tap into, knowing that if you are part of a certain group, so this could be your friendship group, you have a collective morphic field, belief systems. So you are energetically influenced by those around you. So they talk about the sum of 5 people around you, or you can actually prove that through that morphogenic resonance. So it's almost like some of the concepts that people throw about, here's a little bit of like science to go through it, give yourself a bit of that encyclopedia, and then work out what resonates for you. That's what I think is really potent and powerful. And my biggest growth has come through like an encyclopedia knowledge, but then realizing I then have an experience that blows out past the boundaries, and I know that there's so much more. So it's like being willing to not get so rigid in your belief structures, because actually when you're ready for that next leap, and that's another one, Guy Hendricks, The Big Leap, when you're ready for moving past that upper limit or expanding something, because also something that can happen is in our businesses, we actually need to expand or change the soul contract we have. So it might mean that we're meant to change the type of clients we have, which I've had to go through. I've evolved my business. So I would say, you know, sometimes actually we know we're not lit up by something anymore. That is the first thing to start looking into. And that is often the opportunity that there's a new soul access point of growth. And that means you then get the next level money, clients, whatever else that comes in. But you obviously have to take the action to realign things, which is the tricky bit when you're trying to figure it all out, because what used to work will not work at the next level. So, yeah, I would say that they're quite good starting points. And obviously...
Send me a list of those books so that I can include it in the show and in the article that goes along with it for everybody to access. That was a great list. Only one or two of them, I guess, Tim Ferriss and Love Languages are the ones that I've heard of and also highly recommend. So I'll be sure to pick up and read the other ones, and hopefully they have audiobooks to go along with them, because I love audiobooks.
Yeah, I'm sure they do.
Good. And Alera, obviously, I think you have your own podcast. Is that correct?
I do. I've got a podcast on iTunes called Pure Light 1111 Soul Aligned Living. And that in itself, just as my business has grown, I, as the modern day high priestess, so the high priestess used to connect in with all of the kind of leaders, basically. And she would be the visionary, the oracle, and she would influence people going to war, the kings, the pharaohs. So my role is, I'm seeing, to bridge many different industries, help people collapse time around the transformation or seeing things that maybe they kind of don't know about and bringing it together. So I've got quite a diverse podcast with lots of different things on there. There's been founders, authors, menopause experts. There's me channeling things. There's everything, because ultimately I'm very multidimensional. And I think it's the power of showing up unapologetically is a big thing that we are all learning and growing into. And I don't sit in a box, so I want to share all of me, and that kind of helps other people, you know, enter new ideas and spheres, and it makes it kind of acceptable for them too. So, yeah, it's pretty diverse, pretty
activating. Funny coincidence, my birthday is in 11-11, which I think is very good luck.
Woo!
Yeah, lucky number, angel's number.
It's an activation code. It's all about, like, consciousness expansion. So, yeah, you'll be fast-tracking if you chose that date.
Alera, where is the best place for people to connect with you? Is it the podcast? You're on social media? Tell us about that.
Yeah, so I've got a website, which is www.purelight1111.com. So you can connect with me through there. LinkedIn, I'm Alera Dawn. I'm on Facebook as Alera Dawn, and on Instagram, I'm at Pure Light Alera. To be honest, I feel that it's really, I've got quite a lot of wide demographic of different clients. So any one of those is cool. I would say I spend a lot more of my time now in LinkedIn and in like the Facebook groups. So, you know, feel free to reach out. Yeah, I think as the platforms are changing, this is another thing. I recognized I have to be really aligned with where I want to spend my energy. So, you know, I'm not going to jump around because of an hour go. So I kind of feel like that again is another thing.
Cool. Well, Alara, thank you for coming and spending some time talking about energy with me. It's a subject I'm really passionate about and gets me excited. I hope that we were able to open up the mind of at least one of the listeners here today. And if you are that one person, or hopefully more of you, and you're interested in learning more about energy and spirituality, please go follow Alara, check out her podcast, and leave us a 5-star review if you loved what you heard on this episode. Alara, it was a blast having you today. Thanks again.
Thanks for having me. Bye.
You guys, if you loved this episode, do me a favor and click on the link in the description and head over to our exclusive Mentors Collective Facebook community, where I post every single day and I give tons of value that I do not post in this podcast. Seriously, if you love this show, you are not going to want to miss that group. You'll also be able to connect with me personally, ask questions, and get access to a ton of free resources that I give out. All right, guys, again, thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you on the next episode. Peace out, mentors.